Our scripture for today, we're continuing in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that you might not burden, that we might not burden you. Well, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was towards you believers. As you know, we dealt with each of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also consistently give thanks to God for this, that when you heard the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but for what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So as you recall, last week we talked about the first 8 verses in chapter 2, and we talked about false news, about how the gospel is the gospel, and we should not be trying to twist it or use it for our own purposes, for our own desires, our own political stance. And we need to dig down, not just look at it superficially, but dig down and find the meaning of what is really going on. So today, Paul moves on, and he is still, to a certain extent, talking about the gospel. But what Paul is talking about here is for a person to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it actually involves sacrifice. In verse 9, Paul talks about how he, Timothy, and Silas actually worked while they were amongst the people, so as not to burden the people for taking care of them. You see, the norm at that time was anyone that was a leader, their needs were taken care of. The people supplied the food, supplied the housing, supplied their every need. But Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they worked so that the people would not be burdened like that. So that the people would basically listen and pay attention to the pronunciation of the gospel. And what he says is that the love of the gospel, the love of the message of Jesus Christ, is more important than being provided for. Now, what this means is that anyone who proclaims the word, whether they be lay or whether they be a pastor, you're not in it for the money. Am I right, Glenn? Yeah. You're not in it for the money. You're in it because you have a desire to proclaim the gospel. The gospel message is not only more important than being provided for, it's more important than any platform that you might hold. It's more important than the title that you have. It's more important than any sort of platform or thing that you want to put forward. It's more important than one's personality, charisma, and even one's title. Proclaiming the word of Jesus Christ. Again, you don't do it to be provided for. You don't do it for the money, because the money is not there. That's a fact, not a complaint. And you also, it is more important than the position and the title that you have. I'm a pastor. I call myself a pastor. There are other churches that have other names. In the Methodist Church, you can be a district superintendent. You can be a bishop. I don't think there's anything higher than a bishop. Jesus. Well, you're definitely not Jesus. Okay? Being a bishop, granted, it's a little bit prestigious. But if that's the reason why you are doing what you're doing, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. The reason is to proclaim that gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so, the gospel is so significant and it is so profound that it supersedes, or it should supersede, any other desire that you have in the world. It's more important that the needs of the people are taken care of, are met, than it is for our needs as proclaimers of the gospel to be. It's not just sufficient to sacrifice position, power, money, everything. It is a sacrifice, but that's not enough. Any one of us, and I'm including, if you haven't figured it out, I'm including all of us. We are all proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not just significant to suffer mentally, physically, financially, all that other stuff, but we also need to live holy before the people that we serve. A holy life is also a sacrifice. And it's not just sacrificing certain behaviors, you know, using four-letter words, telling semi-blue jokes. It's a sacrifice about the condition of one's heart. Holiness is needed for the proclamation of the gospel. As I said last week, if you are talking with someone and you're not sincere, their BS detector is going to go off. It's not just a behavior, it's a matter of the condition of your heart in relationship to God. Are you fully connected? Has your heart been transformed? And does your transformed heart transform what your priorities are, and your perspective? Do both of those mirror the love that God has for his people? Are you mirroring that love? Holiness is not just about how we are perceived in the world, but it's how we love, how we care for the people around us. Some people have a holy veneer. Now, you know how thick veneer is. It's not very thick. But that holiness needs to permeate our very being. It changes us. It changes our priorities, as I said. And it especially, again, changes our perspective to one that should mirror God. Holiness is also not about what we do. It is also what we are. Holiness is not something that you simply go out and perform. It is something that you are. And this holiness creates a bond that Paul describes as being like a father to his children. Now, again, we got to look at this a little bit in perspective. Paul is talking about what's going on at his time. And at the time of Paul, the role of the father was to push his children to do great things, to encourage his children, to push them to be, in essence, what God would have them to be. The love of the gospel compels us to love each other enough to exhort and to challenge each other to be better, to live a life that reflects God's love, God's compassion, God's caring, God's kindness. That's a tough thing. It's a tough thing nowadays to go and talk to somebody, to challenge them. We're afraid of what that person is going to say back to us. You know? Ken, I challenge you to get that doggone sign up faster. See, he's laughing at me. But you get the point. We're afraid of what will come back at us. But my friends, that is what we as Christians are called to do. We are called to hold each other accountable. Not out of wanting to be vicious, not wanting to simply want to say, shame on you. Yeah, shouldn't be doing that. I couldn't help but thinking about on the show Sanford and Son. Hopefully everybody, I was sharing with Ken and Aradia, I've been subbing in Radford, and none of the students get my cultural references anymore. But on Sanford and Son, does anybody remember Ann Esther? Okay, what was Ann Esther always doing? She was chiding Fred and Lamont and everyone else. Now, the chiding was good, but it was the way that she did it that just, yes, I know, it was done for the humor of it, but, you know, when you're challenging someone, you don't have that holier-than-thou attitude. You're not challenging because you've done wrong. You're challenging because you want a person to be better. You're doing it because you want your brothers and sisters in Christ to move towards holiness, to Get more in line with God. And again, granted, we're never going to be totally holy. That's just being realistic. But we can get closer. We can move. We can become more holy day after day after day. You see, the scripture, the gospel is not just the scriptures. The gospel is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is not about the letters that Paul wrote. It is not just those things. It is the incarnation of the love of Christ here in the world. So the gospel is not only declarative in that it tells us stuff, but it is also performative. It is not just something that we read. It is something that we perform on a daily basis, and it is not acting. We, because of our love of the gospel, because of our holiness by being close to God, that is what performing the gospel is. We need to act it out in our lives. We need to let it out. We need to be living epistles of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be reflecting God's love, reflecting God's caring, reflecting God's kindness to the world that, quite frankly, so desperately needs it. Amen.